I think the evidence will be forthcoming, but I think it's fair to say, as the speaker has indicated, that it will not be supportive of the governor.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the latest on the impeachment probe against Governor Andrew Cuomo, which will end August 25th. Speaker Hastie says the suspension is because Cuomo will resign, and the committee determined it would be unconstitutional to impeach and remove an elected official no longer in office. I speak with two members of the New York State Assembly, first a member of the Judiciary Committee, which will release a final report on its investigation's findings. Assemblyman Phil Steck is a Democrat from Colony. Later, my conversation with Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay, a Republican from the 120th District. First, here's Phil Steck. Assemblyman, did you agree with the decision to suspend the investigation at this point?
I didn't know of it. And I have said that I don't agree with the decision. I think it's fair to say that there is a reasonable basis or a legal opinion that you can't impeach someone that's not in office. But there are also other legal opinions that are equally and perhaps, in my view, more reasonable. So we did not meet as a committee to discuss that issue.
Have you had a chance to tell Speaker Hastie that you disagree with this determination?
No, but I would point out that the speaker is issuing a statement this morning that the committee will issue a report, which many of us have been requesting. I've been asking for that for a few weeks now. So I think it's important that the report be issued, and obviously the speaker has agreed.
Can you explain why you disagree with the decision to end the investigation August 25th?
Because legally, the Constitution says that an impeachment process can result in disqualifying someone from holding future office. That strongly implies that even if the person resigns, you could impeach them for the purpose of disqualifying them. Further, the governor has an $18 million campaign fund. Now, back in the 1850s, when constitutions were written, at least for this state, the people didn't have $18 million campaign funds that they could use to influence elections in New York. To me, part of not barring someone from running for future office would be to bar them from expending their campaign funds on other people's elections. People have First Amendment rights, and the governor can go out and raise all the money he would like to raise in order to influence elections. But he raised that money because he was governor of the state of New York. And I think the constitutional provision should be interpreted to embrace not only barring him from future office, but barring him from spending campaign funds that he amassed while governor.
It sounds to me like you're concerned that, you know, even if Governor Cuomo doesn't eventually run for office again sometime in the future, that he'll try to pull some levers behind the scenes.
Well, he's been very belligerent. He referred to the legislature as a ship of fools that couldn't possibly complete a successful trial in the Senate of him. And this is actually quite consistent with how he behaved as governor. The always blaming the legislature for everything under the sun, when in fact most of his so-called accomplishments were legislation that members had drafted, and then he commandeered those ideas and put them in the budget and claimed they were his. So I think we need a lot of reform of how this office of governor works in the state of New York. It's become too powerful. We don't need an imperial governorship.
Your Republican colleagues have assailed Speaker Hastie and the committee over this decision to suspend the investigation later this month, and they say the speaker is really covering for the governor to a certain degree. Based on what you're saying, do they have a point?
Absolutely not. The Republicans, even among those who are moderate in the New York State Legislature, never stood up to Donald Trump when he was impeached for the worst thing of all, encouraging an insurrection designed to overthrow the democracy of the United States. They are in a very poor position to criticize the speaker for something which is a reasonable conclusion. It may not be something I agree with, but this whole thing pales in comparison to Donald Trump and an effort to end democracy in the United States.
So let me get back to the question. I guess I'll take a different approach to asking it. Why is Speaker Hastie reaching this decision?
Well, as I explained, I really feel that, this is just my feeling on it because I haven't discussed it with the speaker. But throughout this process, Carl has been, what I would say, pretty measured in how he dealt with it. There were a lot of people on the right of the Democratic Party who really wanted to protect Cuomo. The speaker did not do that. There were people on the left who wanted impeached before the evidence was even in, and he insisted on the evidence. Consistent with that, this is a moderate approach to the concept of impeachment. You know, it's, as I said, a reasonable interpretation of the law, but not one with which I agree, nor I think the better interpretation of the law in context.
Now, let me follow up about what the investigation has found. We haven't seen a public report yet. You say one will be coming shortly. Hastie, in his statement, said that the evidence could likely have ended up in an impeachment based on what investigators found on a variety of issues separate from the sexual harassment claims that the attorney general focused on. Have you seen any of that evidence on issues like COVID-19 nursing home deaths, the governor's pandemic memoir, things like that?
We've certainly had discussions about the evidence, but again, in the attorney general's situation, she issued a full report, 165 pages, which I read. And our committee hasn't issued a report, so I think the evidence will be forthcoming. But I think it's fair to say, as the speaker has indicated, that it will not be supportive of the governor on the issues that you mentioned.
What do we do with that information when it comes out? Governor Cuomo will no longer be in office. Governor Kathy Hochul will be in charge of New York State at that time. A lot of people will just simply want to move on. What should New Yorkers make of that forthcoming report?
Well, I think we have to look at this as an opportunity to reform the office of governor. And reform starts with changing the way our government is organized, which is different from almost all governments that are democratic. We give the governor the power over the budget. And what happens is that the governor uses that power over the budget to bludgeon political opponents. That's not very helpful to the democratic functioning of government. In the founding fathers wanted the budgeting power to be with the elected officials closest to the people. And there's a good reason for that. My constituents see me all the time in various settings, whether formal or informal. And I always say, try getting a meeting with the governor, see how that works for you. So what we've developed is this situation where the governor is essentially dictating most of what happens in government in New York because of his budgetary power. And he puts a lot of things in the budget that have nothing to do with the budget, and that's contrary to law. But you're not going to impeach him for that or bring lawsuits over that, because these are very time-consuming processes. But that's a reform that's badly needed, because what we have here is a governor with a personality that was prone to abuse of power, as we've seen, and this has been going on throughout the budget process in every year since I've been a member of the Assembly since 2013.
Do you expect things to change under Kathy Hochul?
Well, it's going to be very different. I mean, Kathy is very congenial. She is someone who I don't think has the attitude like Governor Cuomo did, that one person in the entire state had all the answers to everything. She's not like that at all. And that's going to be helpful. But from my perspective, one of the weaknesses that we've had in government, and I think this has been true nationwide, is since the time of Bill Clinton, we've adapted this neoliberal philosophy of government, and it's led to failure to address climate change, extreme income inequality, among other things. And I think the President of the United States, Joe Biden, has recognized that that model is no longer applicable. I think we need to do the same at the state. I can't predict what Kathy Hochul's views are on what we should be doing in state government, but I think we should take our cue from what President Biden has been doing. And by the way, you know, President Biden is working extremely well with a very left-wing senator who happens to be chair of the Finance Committee of the United States Senate, which is Bernie Sanders. So I think we need some change from the Cuomo administration. I think the accomplishments were a lot of talk, but very, very thin. And Kathy Hochul wants to run for governor. I think she's got to show that she can lead us in a better direction than Andrew Cuomo.
Assemblyman Steck, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Ian.
New York State Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay is a Republican from the 120th District. And he says the decision announced Friday to drop the impeachment probe into Governor Andrew Cuomo was a disservice to the goals of transparency and accountability. And Barclay joins us now. What was your reaction to learning that the impeachment probe will end?
Well, I would say disappointment, but that might have been a understatement. I was really upset about it. I mean, we have all these scandals are surrounding the governor, and at the 11th hour, there was decided by, I guess, the speaker in the assembly not to pursue impeachment against the governor. At the very least, I think and it looks like maybe that's the way they're heading, but at the very least, the Judiciary Committee ought to issue a report on its findings of its 5 months investigation, multi-million-dollar investigation. I think the public deserves answers, and I think everybody deserves some accountability of what's happening with this governor.
Now, as we speak on Monday, the Speaker and the Assembly Judiciary Chair, Charles Levine, say they will, in fact, issue a final report on the investigation. They say in a statement, the committee will take all appropriate steps to ensure that this effort does not interfere with various ongoing investigations into Governor Cuomo. So are you satisfied with that development?
Well, I have to see. It just seems like this is a lot of confusion what's going on, because it seemed Friday there wasn't going to be a report, and now all of a sudden there is a report. It does make one a little suspicious that there's some sort of backstory here, but I don't know. And I guess I'm not going to question people's motivations. And maybe the political pressure got so strong that they figure they have to do a report. But there's so many qualifiers in that report. Obviously, we don't, you know, in that statement. Obviously, we don't want to impede on law enforcement. That's never been the case. But I don't want to have that to be used as an excuse to kind of do a watered-down report. So we'll have to see. I've given a lot of leeway. I respect the members of the Judiciary Committee. We thought, you know, they ought to move very fast on this report. It's taking a long time. But if we don't see some sort of answers out of here, I'm going to question, you know, what's going on here, and if this is really a serious attempt to get to the bottom of the story.
Do you give Democrats, especially in the Assembly, any credit for pursuing the impeachment to the degree that it became clear to one of their own, Governor Cuomo, that he didn't have the support to remain in office? I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that the probe had its intended effect, which is that Governor Cuomo will be leaving office in just about a week.
Yeah, I think that was good. I mean, whether I give him credit or not, I guess, yes, I'm glad they decided to do the right thing and pursue an impeachment. I would have liked to have seen it go faster. But then again, as I said, we have members on the Judiciary Committee. They told me that they thought that it was a thorough, you know, investigation. So, yes, I'm happy with that. But that wasn't my mind. That wasn't the only thing, is just to get Cuomo out of office. I mean, that is a kind of a byproduct, and I'm glad he's resigned. The idea is to get to the bottom of these scandals. And ultimately, it's the legislature's job to hold those that were did wrongdoing accountable, but more importantly, to make sure that we implement policies so these types of things can't happen again. So if we, it'll be all, I don't know, all for naught. It is good that the governor resigned, but we have to, ultimately, we have to finish the job, and that's really what the job of the legislature, Democrat or Republican, is to do.
What would that look like in your mind?
Well, if they're not going to impeach him, certainly a report, was a thorough report of what the investigation found, is a must. And then what do you, as far as, I don't know, we'll have to see what the report says as far as any kind of, you know, legislative, solution to these issues.
I guess that's the question, and I put it to a member of the Assembly Judiciary Committee just before speaking with you, Phil Steck. Okay, the governor is gone. Kathy Hochul takes office. The impeachment probe ends in a report, and let's just imagine, based on what Speaker Hastie's statement said Friday, it shows a decent amount of wrongdoing. What do we do with that information?
Oh, well, that would then be law. I mean, obviously, we're not a prosecutorial body. That would be up to law enforcement to decide what to do and whether the crimes, you know, were committed ought to be prosecuted. So that's fine. But again, I think what we do with the report is, one, give it public disclosure, but also try to implement policies that will prevent these types of things. Take the nursing home cover up, if there was one, that we could put policies in place and make sure that either there's a reporting or accurate reporting to the legislature. I mean, there's a million different maybe solutions that could be done here to prevent this stuff from happening in the future.
It's not happening in a vacuum, and a new governor will be taking over, presumably sometime right around when this report comes out. We don't have a timeline for that yet. But does this hurt the ability of Kathy Hochul to kind of start with a clean slate in your mind?
Well, certainly she was part of the administration. She's going to have to answer for her role in that administration. My understanding, she wasn't playing a leading role in that, so I don't know what her interaction was on any of these, whether she knew about the sexual harassment, whether she knew about the nursing home cover-up. We don't know, but she'll have to answer for that, and she should, you know, deny it strongly if she didn't know, and maybe she has hinted at that. I think we all are looking forward to turning the page and having a new governor, and hopefully she'll work collaboratively with the legislature and with Republicans to try to move the state out of this dark phase that we're going through.
Have you had any conversations with her so far?
I did. I had a nice conversation with her, and just said, I'm here to work with you in a bipartisan manner. We're not going to agree ideologically on probably many things, but that doesn't mean we can't work together on things to help move the state forward. And she was very, we had a very nice conversation, and she was appreciative, and I was appreciative talking to her.
In the interviews that she's done leading up to taking office on the 24th, she has talked about, you know, building bridges, bringing her party together, working across party lines. Do you expect Albany to change in any meaningful way as the page gets turned from the Cuomo years here?
I hope so. You know, when Cuomo got elected, I thought there was great optimism that he would turn the page from Governor Spitzer. And I think he did that for a time. But then, unfortunately, that didn't last. And so I hope so with Hochul. And I'm gonna certainly try to work with her and try to be a partner with her in government so we can try to accomplish things and not make necessarily have a relationship that's contentious, that makes it very difficult to get things done. So that's going to be my goal, and I would urge other members to do that and give her the benefit of the doubt, at least initially.
It hasn't been confirmed by her yet, but there was a report that current Lieutenant Governor Hochul, soon to be Governor Hochul, plans to keep on the state health commissioner, Dr. Howard Zucker. Is that a mistake in your view?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I don't know how you keep the health commissioner in. And when you look at the record New York's had with the pandemic, it's not a success story by any stretch of the imagination. About the only success we had in this pandemic was having the governor do press briefings every day. But ultimately, you know, we had the second highest fatalities on both an overall number and a per capita number. We had shutdowns. We had a lot of arbitrary policies that didn't seem to be based in science. And the extent that the commissioner played a role in this, I just think that his tenure has to end and cannot go forward. And I think that would be a big mistake if she tries to keep him on.
Just to wrap up here, given the crisis in state government over the last several months, how are you getting along with Speaker Hastie nowadays? Have you spoken recently? Have you addressed the question of the impeachment probe?
I haven't talked to him about the impeachment probe. I do have not conversations, but I have had text messages with him, and also staffs were always in contact in that regard. I have the great respect for the speaker, and as I've told him when I first became leader, you know, when I don't agree with you, I'm going to be vocal and strong about it, but I'll never make it personal. And I will continue to do that with him, and I'll call him out when I think he's making the wrong decision. We'll do that, you know, with a strong voice. So I say our relationship's fine. I'm not crazy about how, you know, I assume didn't want to see the impeachment end, and I'm, you know, a little suspect about this report, but if they can come together and we can do a thorough report and our Judiciary Committee members, Republicans on that, sign on to it, I think that would be the right step in the right direction.
New York State Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay. He's a Republican from the 120th District. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Ian. Good talking to you.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.